This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
But one thing I'll say for the person who's struggling to find new friends in this season is, you know, I focus on friendship, but so it might sound strange to hear me say this, but I always say try to find ways that you can prioritize connection over friendship. Because one mindset I have heard from a lot of women is you're carrying around this big lofty goal day to day of I need new friends. And that can put a lot of pressure, maybe you don't realize, and you might be overlooking these small moments of connection with others. And in terms of like your relational health and social health, if you just have one meaningful social interaction per day, if you can find a way to position yourself for that, I strongly believe that cultivating friendships would be a natural byproduct of that. So how can I do a lot of the things I've been doing alone? How can I socialize them by one degree?
Hello, Peds Doc Talk podcast listeners. Thank you for being here. I know the juggle is real as parents, and even if you're not a parent. So I appreciate you taking time out of your day to tune in to these awesome conversations that I get to have about child health, development, parenting, and parental mental health. This show is a top 50 parenting podcast in the United States, but let's make it a top 20 this year. So leave those reviews and update those reviews and share the show with whoever has a child, was a child, or wants to learn about how to better connect with children and themselves. Today's guest is Danielle Byard Jackson, who is a former high school teacher who now serves as a relational health educator, which means she makes a career out of studying what the research has to say about creating quality platonic relationships. And she's joining me today to talk about why it's so hard making and maintaining meaningful friendships in motherhood. Thank you so much for joining me today, Danielle.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to jump into this conversation.
I am so excited. You know, I have a forum where people submit, you know, that want to come on the show. And when I saw you submit and your team, I was like, this is an amazing person. You know, I have a lot of followers who are moms who, after they became mothers, felt this sort of isolation, felt that it was hard to stay connected to friendships they've had in the past. And also, to make new friends. So before we even dive into all of this information, tell us more about yourself and why this topic is near and dear to you.
Yeah, so I started my career as a high school teacher and I was teaching 12th graders, and it's the number one thing they wanted to talk about was their friendship issues. And then I left that world and got into public relations, and I was surprised to see that there were these high achieving, charismatic women, and they too were secretly dealing with friendship issues. And a lot of my clientele are mothers who are saying, maybe I have connections, but I am deeply unsatisfied in my friendships. And so I was very curious about the ways in which friendship tends to change during this unique period in our lives.
Oh, fascinating. And I'm probably one of those women, by the way, which is why I was so excited to have you on. You know, I have a huge platform here with my Instagram and my podcast, and people would assume that, oh, Dr. Mona probably has all these amazing connections. And not to say I don't have them, but I've definitely lost connection with a lot of the friends I used to have, not in a animosity bad way, but just distance and time. And then also finding it really hard to connect with new friends that I'm trying to make in my late 30s. You know, I feel like I'm a little more, I'm going to use this word picky, I'm a little more selective on who I let into my space. And that can mean not making as many friends. So I think this is a topic that's going to be so useful for our listeners, but also for myself as well. And so many of us feel that we have these meaningful friendships before becoming a mother, and then they can disappear. Why do you feel like this happens?
I think there are a couple of reasons for that. The first is lack of time, lack of practice, and lack of support. And so first with lack of time, I mean, you already know you've got these little ones. They depend on you in so many ways. And so not having the same amount of time available to nurture the friendships you did pre-motherhood. And it's really tricky because sometimes you don't know what you've got until it's gone. And so having little ones specifically, you know, can be really, really demanding cognitively, physically. And so some of us are burnt out afterwards of a long day with the kids, or we don't have the extra time in the reserves to invest in the commute and sit at hours long brunches. And so time seems to be the first or number one thing that people often cite to me for why those friendships feel like they're fading out, is because we don't have as much time as we did before to pour into them. And then the second thing would be lack of practice. And I always say, give yourself a little bit of grace. I know that's like a mantra for moms, but you've never had practice being friends like this. You've never had to coordinate the schedule to work things in according to another human being. You've never had to do this. But for some of us, I think we experience so much dissatisfaction because we're trying to apply the same scripts from pre-motherhood, and that's not going to work. But never having the moment to pause and say, oh, I think I'm going to have to relearn how to navigate this because all of my conditions are different. So there's good news, we can figure it out, but I just want to validate, yeah, that makes it challenging and that's what changes. And the last thing I'll say is lack of support. You have to have a partner and community that support you having time to go and spend with your friends, who encourage you to pause and go and be with your girlfriends. And a lot of us, unfortunately, don't have that.
I mean, let alone trying to find that crew and that team that's going to help your kid to take care of yourself. Like, obviously I look at relationships as fun. Like, I love getting to see my girlfriends and have fun, but also I also need to sleep. I also need to hopefully work out, you know, things that are also important for me solo. So you're already, I feel like so many moms are already struggling trying to find the time for them, let alone the connection with others, which we know is so important, but they don't even have time for connection with self, which I found to be such a struggle with, especially these small children under 5-6 years of age that are not yet in like a school system, that are like, they're very dependent from a developmental need. And it's so hard. I love the way you frame that, the lack of time, lack of practice, and lack of support. Right on. I completely resonate with that.
Yeah, it can be really tricky. And I've got a 5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and same thing. And I love that you're making the point about, you know, we don't even have time for ourselves sometimes, let alone friendship. And that is so real. I mean, sleep is so necessary. Okay. That precious gem, right?
Yes.
But, you know, I would also argue that time with friends is time for self and finding ways. Yeah. How do I incorporate and integrate both? Because now I've got to find a way to fold these hours into one another. So it's, in my opinion, less of a matter of how do I find additional hours and how do I use the hours I've got? How do I stack them up? So maybe my daily walk around the park, you know, with pushing the baby around, hey, friend, you want to join me and tell me about your date last night while we go on this walk? So it sounds a lot less sexy, but what are the ways that I can incorporate the workout, the being in, you know, nature for my mental health, running errands, and inviting a friend along and being content with that qualifying as time together?
Yeah. And I love how you're describing the evolution of how things change, right? I mean, you said it perfectly, that lack of practice. Yes, we've all made friends in our early 20s or before we had children, but you're right that now there's different dynamics at play. I mean, not only are you changed in terms of your ability for time, maybe your interests have changed, your sleep deprivation has obviously changed. So there's so many variables that I think you said it great, that having that grace to understand that things evolve as you evolve in your motherhood journey. And that's talking about connecting with obviously friendships we've may have had in the past. But I also find personally, and also for a lot of my community, that they feel it's really hard making new friends in motherhood. And why do you feel that that is so hard? You know, the examples you gave of, you know, meeting up with someone and maybe going on a stroller run or errands together, that difficulty in finding and meeting new people.
Yeah. So it's a couple of things, but one thing I'll say for the person who's struggling to find new friends in this season is, you know, I focus on friendship, but so it might sound strange to hear me say this, but I always say, try to find ways that you can prioritize connection over friendship. Because one mindset I have heard from a lot of women is you're carrying around this big lofty goal day to day of, I need new friends, I need new friends. And that can put a lot of pressure, maybe you don't realize, and you might be overlooking these small moments of connection with others. Yeah. And in terms of like your relational health and social health, if you just have one meaningful social interaction per day, if you can find a way to position yourself for that, I strongly believe that cultivating friendships would be a natural byproduct of that. So how can I do a lot of the things I've been doing alone? How can I socialize them by one degree? Whether it's reading in the park or taking the baby outside to walk around, or like, how can I socialize my interests? How can I say hello to neighbors I normally don't speak to? I mean, I know this sounds very, very basic, but these are all opportunities to organically, quote unquote, you know, organically make friendships, but how are you prioritizing connection? And what opportunities are you dismissing because you assume, oh, I can't be friends with people like that, girls like that. Mm. I know that I definitely almost overlooked an opportunity to be plugged into a mommy group when I had my first child, because I was like, I'm not a mommy group kind of gal, you know, that's not my vibe. And I definitely made friends there. Some I did not. They were just surface level connections. But the research shows that we need those two. Sociologists referred to those as weak ties. People who maybe were not super ultra close, but you still add value to my life, whether you're giving me access to resources, whether you're affirming a very unique problem that I have that my besties can't relate to. I need all those forms and layers of connection. And so the first task I would give for the person who's like, I want to make new friends, is find a way to prioritize connection, and the friendships will follow.
Very beautifully said, because I think social media can also make it really hard to respect that your friendships can look different, that weak tie versus, like you said, the weak tie versus the bestie, right? Like, you see a lot of women who go on girl trips with some of their friends, right? And you're like, wow, I may not have that sort of community at this moment of my life, but I do have these people in my life that serve a really great purpose in providing me that connection. We may not be jet setting or have the funds or time to do that, but everything just looks different. And I think sometimes when you get into that comparison game or that sort of, well, what should my friendships look like in motherhood, then you tend to feel bad about what you actually do have in front of you, which I agree. I myself have a plethora of different relationships. And many of my relationships right now are what you described as those weak ties, which I love. Like, I love seeing them. Are we the best of friends and know everything about each other? Are we going to go on a vacation together? Probably not, but that is okay. I love that.
Yeah, it's really important to have those different layers. And I so appreciate what you're saying about the comparison game is so real, especially as a mom. I know I was spending a lot of time on social media during the periods where I was breastfeeding. You're like isolated alone in the room by yourself, scrolling, fearing like I'm falling behind. My friends are forgetting about me. You know, just all the panic and anxiety around that. But I love the point you're making about, okay, what's tangible for me? What do I already have to work with? You know, a lot of times when we think about making friends, we kind of use that phrase synonymously with meeting new people, but the two aren't necessarily the same. Nobody said you have to start from scratch, because I'd argue that a lot of us have some people we vibe with who we've already met, but for some reason we've dismissed them as a valid candidate for potential friendship for whatever reason. I mean, there's no reason you can't reach out and say, hey, you crossed my mind today. I thought of you. And if you're ever around and want to get coffee, or if you ever want to take a walk, I think you would be surprised at how much people appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of going back to what you originally talked about with, you know, we talked about the friendships that we had before that may not be there now. One of the common things that I hear from a lot of my community, and I've experienced as well, is that distancing of old relationships. Like, I had read a post somewhere that, you know, adulting is wild because you could be besties with someone and yet they still haven't met your 2-year-old, you know, like, and so there is a culture around that, that even the friends that you like loved, like you have so many fond memories of, and maybe don't talk to every day, may not be in your life. Do you see that often from your clients and from your work that you've done, that those meaningful relationships don't seem as meaningful, or maybe they're not as involved as they used to be?
Now let's take a break to hear from our sponsors.
As a pediatrician, mom, and podcaster, I want to share with you a podcast I recently discovered. It's called Understood Explains, and this season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Ertube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. I listened to an episode called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans, and I learned so much that I honestly didn't know before. I now feel I can better explain these to my patients and their families and better support them in their neurodiversity journey. Navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences can be confusing, and this podcast helps to validate these struggles and provide actionable tips that are useful for parents, teachers, and clinicians. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Oh, sure. You know, and friendships, you know, they're dynamic. And the definition of dynamic means, you know, something that's defined by constant change. And I think we know that intellectually. Like, who among us doesn't acknowledge that? Yes. But when it's actually happening, it is very jarring because we're trying to reconcile our expectations with reality. And I expected that you'd always be in my life this consistently and this deeply. And now you don't know who my child is, who's a very important part of my life. I don't know what you do for work anymore. I don't know what's going on. And so, you know, a couple things that can help to kind of rectify that is, one, you have permission to say to your friend, I know a lot of things have changed and we're both on the go, but man, it's really important to me to get back to our Friday morning FaceTimes. Or man, I really want to make sure we see each other once a month. And I tell you, I know for a lot of people that might feel awkward or really intense and we're like, oh gosh, that sounds clingy. I want you to ask yourself, do I feel this scared to do that in other contexts of my life? Because when we go to work, there's a natural time that's carved out for performance reviews. How am I doing? What do I need to do more of next quarter? Okay. With your romantic partner, it's normal to say, babe, I feel like we're not connecting. What's going on? I need more of this. I don't know why it is that in friendship that feels extra risky and we don't want to say what we need and we subscribe to the belief that it just ought to happen organically. But if you have friendships that have faded out and you have a desire to reintegrate them back into your life, you have total permission to say, hey, I miss you. I know things are crazy right now, but are you down for like a Friday morning catch up, 30 minutes FaceTime? I mean, whatever it is, but that's one way to actively announce your desire, which I know feels very vulnerable for some of us.
Absolutely. I love how you talk about that because we put so much priority in the parent-child relationship, in our relationships with our romantic partners. But you're right, there is this sort of uncomfortability and almost like the lack of wanting to create any sort of like uncomfortability of like, what are they going to say? You know? And I'm like, well, that's probably part of the relationship. And the connection is really, if you love that relationship, say something about it. And, you know, one thing I always hear is a frustration of a woman may feel like they're putting in more effort, but then that woman is not returning it back, you know, and then they feel, well, why am I always the one trying to make the effort? Do you hear that sentiment a lot too?
Oh my gosh. If I had a dollar for every time I heard that, we'd be having this interview from my house in Bora Bora. Okay. Like it's like the number one thing is lack of reciprocity, which the research does show is way more important to women in their friendships than men claim to prioritize is reciprocity, balance, equality. I want to know we're both in this together. And so, yes, I've definitely heard that before.
And I will say, you have two children as well. When I had one, before I became a parent, I would look at my friends who had children before me and I'd be like, wow, like they're so busy. Okay, I know that's really hard having a kid. That's fine. I had my first child and it was in a pandemic. So things were like, there was nothing happening besides just work and life. And I was like, okay. And I would stay connected, you know, and I would reach out to my friends and I'm like, why isn't she responding? Like, I'm a mom too. Like, what is it? And then I became a parent of a second child outside of the pandemic. And now I like see a text message and it takes me a week to even remember that I need to respond to that. And it's like, now I feel bad for all the like, why aren't they getting back to me? Like, it's not that bad. Like, we all are in the same boat. But I think there's also this understanding that everyone has different resources, but also like mental capacity and mental load of like what they need to handle, that it's not always personal, I've realized. And sometimes, like you said, the communication needs to happen. Like, hey, I miss you. We haven't talked. When can we talk? Like, not like holding it passive aggressive and all that I think many times some women do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am like nodding in agreement 100%. And I know sometimes, you know, this popular concept of like low maintenance friendships is taking off. Like, friends I don't have to talk to, we're still friends.
Yes.
And I have strong opinions on that. I get it. But some of us need to be able to proudly proclaim, I desire active friendships in this period of my life. That's what I'm looking for, is active support. And we are deeply integrated into each other's day-to-day life. And so two things I would say to the woman who feels like, I want more, but I don't know what to say and what's going on. I would say two things. The first is narrow down your top three women, because you can feel overwhelmed by thinking about all the people you want to catch up with and all the, who are your top three? Okay. Maybe they're not deeply integrated into your life right now, but we're just curious about them. That's enough. Who are the top three women I want to be intentional about finding a way we can put some aspect of our friendship on autopilot? Because a lot of the issue is the scheduling. Okay. Yeah. It's, can you do Tuesday at 8? And let's remove the mental labor. Hey, are you down to every other week? We FaceTime on Fridays. Hey, you know, every Wednesday, do you want to walk with me in the park? Something manageable, something low lift, and something we can commit to and put an aspect of our friendship on autopilot. That's one way to start integrating a little more activity and predictability so you can work around it in your schedule. The second thing is, if you are frustrated because you feel like you have a lack of those deep connections and the frustration is maybe amplified because you don't have any connections, so you're especially hungry for those three, you got to get plugged into community as well. So like, yes, we need to be intimately known in these friendships, but are you involved in anything? Because it might help to just be among others, people who you share some aspect of your identity with, you know, some religious practice, some, you know, art thing that lets you bring the babies. I mean, but what else are you involved in where maybe the priority is not, I want to make friends at this club. Maybe it's, hey, I've always had this interest. I've never been able to pursue it. Or, hey, I think I know I need to connect with other people a couple times a week and just start there. So I think those two things will help to start to get us feeling a little more satisfaction in our personal relationships.
Oh, very well said. And I love that you already have provided so many examples. You know, you talked about, rather than trying to make it a priority to make the friend, going to events or things that really serve you and maybe making the connections there. And already I love how you are prioritizing connection over the label of a friend, because that is what I think everyone at the bottom core is wanting. How would you guide a mom to finding that connection amidst the mental load and life of being a mother? So I know you already mentioned some great examples. Is there anything else you would want to add to that on how they can approach that?
Yeah. So I know that so far the insights I've been offering have been around how to position yourself, maybe physically, like where to go, scripts and what to say to revive an old friendship. But once you get there, if we're talking about feeling connected and seen, once you get there, how you show up matters too. So, I mean, I got to keep it real here. All right. Some of us are trying to pursue relationships with people who are not available. We don't feel safe to share our real opinion. A part of us is kind of just performing. A part of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, we just want to feel like we belong. And this looks like an established mom group. And it would be, we like how we would feel about ourselves if they approved us being in the group. You know, so can you, if you really stripped it down, okay, these connections you're pursuing, are they with people who, one, they are demonstrating a willingness to be active with you? Two, if you took away all the fluff, the fancy brunches and spending a lot of money on dinners, if you stripped all that and invited her over just to sit on the couch, would that be sufficient? Or is there any party that feels like this particular woman would not be okay with that because she needs to be entertained? Okay. So the quality of relationships is what we're looking for connection. Because I don't want you to prioritize getting out there and doing all the things and still for some reason feeling tired because you're performing or feeling dissatisfied because these are people who only want to speak about themselves. They demonstrate no interest in your life. Okay. We want quality connections. So two tangible things you can do is one, you can get comfortable making space to talk about your stuff and making sure these are things that are maybe relatively vulnerable to the degree that you feel comfortable, but that's how we become more seen and known, right? And then on the other side, for the other people you're engaging with, can you show them they are seen and known? So maybe after we hang out, I'm following up with her and saying, hey, thank you so much for making time to come over. I love when we're together and hearing about all the things that you've got going on. Like, I admire the way that you're balancing everything. I admire XYZ, but how do I demonstrate to you I appreciate you, I value, which ironically, we so often don't do with those we're closest with, assuming they ought to know. And so if I'm trying to have more satisfaction of us feeling safe and seen, I highly encourage you to, when you have those interactions, to make them count and make sure they're with people who make you feel good about who you are.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, yes, I want to feel good. And I, you know, your whole platform and your whole life's mission now is about creating these quality platonic relationships. And so in your opinion, why are these female friendships so important? And what qualities do you see in a meaningful, strong female connection?
Yeah. So, you know, I always like starting with the research so people don't think I'm just being fluffy and I'm like, you need your girls, you know, which you do, but it's like, okay, enough of that advice. But, you know, the research keeps pointing to how important it is. So the first thing I like to anchor these conversations with is the longest running study on happiness has been conducted by Harvard. And they have found that of all these other factors, the number one thing that determines how happy you are and how physically healthy you are is quality relationships. The number one thing. Okay. So that right there should give us some sense of urgency. Now with women specifically in women's relationships, there are lots of other benefits. There's research that finds that, you know, when they first did that study of fight or flight as stress responses, it was with men. When they did that study again, they found that women have two additional responses to distress, and that's tend or befriend, meaning we'll go to those who we deem as vulnerable and tend to them in distress and caretake, or we'll go and gather with our girls. And when we do, it decreases cortisol, our stress hormone, and increases oxytocin. So quite literally, when I am kind of in the trenches, I need another woman sometimes to go and talk to and fuss at, and she gets it. She can affirm my experience. She can say, you got this. She can offer scripts for how she navigated it because she knows what it's like to be a woman in this world. She likely has higher emotional intelligence than maybe a male counterpart. I know I'm generalizing here. So yeah. I might feel validated. I might feel heard, right? And so having these people to go to is very helpful for our mental, physical, and emotional health. And so I just can't stress that enough because I know we so often talk about friendship as like a recreational pastime, but it's about so much more than having people to go to brunch with. It is a wellness imperative to have community and friendship.
Oh, I agree. And I know in the pandemic, you know, we're recording this obviously outside of that peak pandemic time, it felt so isolating, right? And you going back to that term that you used of lack of connection, you know, that lack of connection, lack of being able to even have these opportunities. And I know it took a real toll on my mental health, especially as a new mother, joining in this new role, not having anyone to relate to. Mommy's groups just weren't happening because of contact issues, you know? And I know that that took a real toll, and it kind of shows you, not even just from the research, but just from a feeling that I'm sure you and a lot of your clients and a lot of the people you speak to can relate to that. Yeah, when I'm not feeling connected to other human beings, especially, I agree, with other women, I love my connection with my husband, my children, but it's that relatability. It's that, hey, I'm going through something. And as a female, we do get it. You said like, oh yeah, I know I'm generalizing, but no, there is a difference, especially when it's another mother, hopefully. And to your point, sometimes that person may not be the person, like even though they're a mom and they've gone through the same experience as you do, maybe they're not the uplifting person that you need them to be in your life. And recognizing that is important too, but it is a connection piece that I think so much of us lacked in the pandemic. And still a lot of new moms feel so isolated, even maybe 4 or 5 years down the line of having a new baby.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Oh, this is such a great conversation. What would be a final message for everyone listening today?
I think my final message of encouragement would just be that this is temporary, that this feeling behind and overextended and disconnected is temporary. The research tells us that a friendship dip already occurs in your 30s, where things kind of go down, the connection, the socialization, and then it goes back up, right? But that, I feel like it's even deeper, that dip, when you've got children in your 30s. So I like mentioning that dip because you might be with other peers right now who are echoing your sentiments of despair and hopelessness. And it is really hard. And I'm sure you're tired. But what I need women to not do is to start to feel hopeless, to start to feel like it's too late for them. They should have made all their friends and now it's so to start to feel like there's no promise of deep quality friendships on the other side. And there are. And so for the woman who just needs to feel like it is possible and this is temporary, I hope that this is some form of encouragement for her.
Oh, it really was. I mean, I'm feeling inspired. So thank you so much for sharing all of this information. Where can people go to stay connected to you and your resources?
Yeah, I'm so excited. My book, Fighting for Our Friendships, comes out on May 7th. And all the information about all the things lives at betterfemalefriendships.com.
Wonderful. And I'll be adding that to our show notes, everybody, so that you can get access to the book as well as all of Danielle's resources. And thank you again for joining me and using this term connecting with me. I love my podcast. You know, you talk about going to the places where you feel like the energy's there. Podcasting is where I love to be. It's my joy of my platform. I just get to chat with people from across the world about things like this. And it really brings me a lot of connection and joy. So thank you for being a part of my 30 minutes here of my life and really inspiring me today too.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for everyone tuning in, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you're really thinking about ways that you can add connection into your life. Search for ways to prioritize these relationships and remind yourself how important it is, like she said, for the longevity and the happiness, the mental and physical health of your life. Connection is really important and it's doable even though we are busy. I know Danielle has a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old at the time of this recording. I have a 4-year-old and a 9-10 month old, and I know that it's difficult, but it is about making those small steps. If you love this episode, leave that review, leave that rating, tag us on social, make sure that we know that you love this episode, because that's how we know that this podcast can continue to grow. And I cannot wait to chat to another guest next time.
You made it halfway through an episode, so you must be loving the show. If you love the show, make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel where I share answers to all of the common topics submitted to me regarding child health, development, and debunking all that misinformation you hear online. My goal is for PDT to be a one-stop shop for your searching needs. Bye-bye late night Googling. So make sure to go to YouTube and search Peds Doc Talk TV. Hit that subscribe button and binge watch all the amazing episodes and episodes to come. Have suggestions for future videos? Make sure to chat in the community section on my YouTube channel.